to this week's edition of the Prep Zone Report. Joining me this week, Mike Sauter, is Stu Pospisil. Stu, thank you very much for your time this week. Greatly appreciated. We want to touch on a few different things. We'll talk about normally what we do about some recruiting things. But first, let's just talk about, I wanted to discuss your ratings and the changes that you made from maybe week one to even now, week heading into week three, or just from last week to this week.
Well, the top two have stayed the same, Mike. Bellevue West goes out and beats its first two opponents, putting up 63 each week. So they've outscored their opponents 126-6. Bellevue East.
Hard to move them from that.
Yeah, a shout-out over Bellevue East is expected, unfortunately, right, for the Chieftains. But Millard South has played solid the past 2 weeks and starting 2-0. And then Westside's moved up to third since we had Burke losing last week to Millard West. That was kind of the instigator for last week's changes, where Millard West goes up to number four, Elkhorn South number five. Mm-hmm. They've got that big game lurking next with week, Bellevue West next week. That's going to be really good litmus test for both teams, mm-hmm, honestly. And then the rest of the top ten: Lincoln Southeast, Grand Island, Omaha Creighton Prep, and Omaha North. With probably Kearney and Lincoln East knocking on the door first.
Yeah, and that little Lincoln East and Southwest play this week, so they can go. Lincoln East has a chance to kind of prove their mettle a little bit.
And then I think it's Southeast the week after that.
Yeah,
so, the East is the only team not to have given up a point on any level this year in the state. So, good solid start for John Giggory's crew, but the tougher games lie ahead.
Right. And then Class B, Scott Roncalli, you moved Roncalli up even after losing, right?
I did.
We were both there. I think they're pretty good.
So. Yeah, and I think somebody that I couldn't get in last week's column, but I'll be writing a little bit about, I think, on Friday, is Derek Rogers.
Yeah.
Younger brother of last year's All-Stater, Alex. If he can give them what he gave them on Friday night and keep improving as a sophomore, this is the speed element that they were looking after Alex graduated. Mm-hmm. And little brother's got a lot of tools, don't you think?
Yeah, oh yeah. I was impressed with him and then the Orr brothers, too.
Right. And we've seen their skills in basketball, and now with their football play. And Gunnar Ott had a solid game for them. Scott's going to have to shore up its pass defense. And maybe they don't see passers as good as Nick Bond and Jack Doetzler. Yeah. But they've given up 700 yards through the air in the first two weeks. And that's a lot. Norris still looking for their first big test. They've won a couple. They're number three. Roncalli at 1-1 is four. Waverly, York, Grand Island, Northwest. Solid win over a McCook team that's probably a notch or two down from traditional McCook levels, but still a win over a Jeff Gross team you have to value.
Right.
And then Blair had a late pick six go against it with York, or a fumble by Collingham picked up for York last week. Hastings, and then probably we're going to talk about surprise teams. Elkhorn Mount Michael off to a 2-0 start. A new quarterback and some new faces.
They're one for sure. And then we'll discuss kind of the next week's matchups and stuff. But C1, any changes there?
Not really. Aurora and Wahoo, big game that we'll talk about. Yeah. Aurora started the year number one. They're staying at number four right now. Wahoo's moved up to number one. First time a football team at Wahoo High has been ranked number one. Crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, plenty of basketball teams.
Right. And Pierce number two, you still think that Adams Central and Aurora are going to have something to say about this? Aurora came back with a nice win last week over Kearney Catholic. Maybe, those new starters settled down. Again, Adams Central is a solid football team. I mean, they can run, they can pass. And you still got undefeated teams, the likes of Ord and Wahoo Newman. I'm hearing good things about Gothenburg, Columbus Lakeview, and Ogallala with Clayton Murphy. He comes and plays Kearney Catholic in a couple weeks.
Yeah,
I think that's a good measuring stick there.
Yeah, I think that's actually next week when I was looking at it.
Week four, I think,
Week four is a huge matchups all over. The more that I just keep hearing and looking at it. So C2, not a lot changed. BRLD moved up, right?
Right.
To one.
After after the first week. St. Paul has never been ranked this high previously at number two. David Seaquest, which started out the preseason at number one, needed two touchdowns in the last few minutes to beat Norfolk Catholic last week, 14-3. So Catholic staying in there at number five at 0-2. They've got two tough games still this week or coming up because they've got St. Paul this week and BRLD the next week.
Yeah, wow.
They could be the best 0-4 team. I don't think I've ever kept an 0-4 team in, but if they would happen to have two close losses, I'm not sure anybody outside the top 10 could have done any better than and they're very capable of winning one or both.
Right, and watch them. And then if they go on a run and make it to the playoffs, and then you see Norfolk Catholic again in the state final, it would be no surprise because that's just what they do.
Right, yeah. Jeff Beller, you know, he's got more wins than anybody else in state history. You know, you've got Sutton undefeated, Fremont Bergen, Oakland Craig, Centennial, Shelby, Rising City, and UTAN round out the top ten there.
Yeah. And then eight-man one, eight-man two, any changes, really? I mean, any sort of surprises?
No, Norfolk
there?
Lutheran and Humphrey St. Francis started the preseason at number one. They were off the first week because class or eight-man teams play 9 weeks for eight games,
right.
So everybody gets a week off and they're somewhere. So Norfolk Lutheran in eight-man one, followed by Burwell, Howells, Dodge, Wakefield, Dundee County Stratton, Creighton, Nebraska Christian, Fullerton. BDS had a good win over an Elwin Murdoch team that knocked off Johnson Brock the week before, and Wisner Pilger. So Creighton's the only one lost team in that bunch, and that was to Wakefield's. Mm-hmm. In eight-man two, everybody's got a clean slate except number seven, Lawrence Nelson, which lost to Sacred Heart last week. So that lineup, St. Francis, Sacred Heart, Bloomfield, Kennesaw, Garden County, Central Valley, Lawrence Nelson, Blue Hill, Osmond, and Pleasanton.
Yeah, and St. Francis looks to be kind of...
Sacred Heart's going to be right there, too. Okay. You know, if they've got their quarterback situated, because Drew Bippas was such a good multi-purpose guy last year. That was kind of the one unknown for Doug Goltz. And his concern is that he wants to see all the teams on his schedule show up, and he got assurance today that Omaha Christian is going to have enough. Because he was thinking that there could be three games that would be iffy just to play out of eight. That'd be really unfair for any team to have to face that. We got some teams that only have seven games because of forfeits that they couldn't get matched up.
That's not good. Yeah.
So, and then in six-man, Harvard, McCool Junction, Cody Kilgore, Humphrey Holy Family had a tough loss to McCool Junction last week, led for most of that one. Creek Valley, Sterling, Wilcox Hildreth, Sioux County, Dorchester, and believe for the first time in school history, Grand Island Heartland.
Heartland, 2-0, right? Or 1-0, I guess they won last week. Beat Spalding Academy.
Beat Spalding Academy. So this is, if Grand Island Central Catholic were bust into the ratings, we'd have all four GI teams in the rankings, and CC's undefeated through two. So
And all four of the Grand Island teams undefeated.
Right.
So it's crazy. Yeah.
Combined 7-0, I think.
Pretty neat story there. The first week it was Hastings, all three teams were undefeated, and then now
it's the Islander of the nation out there.
Grand Island.
And the Vikings and the Crusaders, and I can't remember offhand what the Heartland Lutheran.
Eagles,
maybe? Sorry.
Yeah.
We stand corrected whenever we find out.
Yeah. Those are changes in rundown. And then I want to talk about teams that maybe have surprised in a good way, teams that were maybe undervalued by you, me, everybody else heading into the season that have been surprises through the 2 weeks of the season.
Well, I think GI certainly has validated that.
Right.
You know, it may be down a little bit from last year, but they're not going to be out of the playoff mix for sure. Winning that wild one with Kearney a week ago, and then opening its new stadium that's still under construction. But boy, I saw pictures.
Have seat backs and
chair backs. It's like, wow, this. I can understand why it's the most expensive stadium in the state at $17 million. Maybe we moved to Texas and didn't realize it, but. You know, in Class A, I think they've started out very strong.
Right.
You know, you're kind of pulling for like an Omaha South that's 2-0.
Right.
They come into Benson this week that's lost 19 straight. if they get to 3-0, then you know, South could be off, record-wise, could have its best season this year, maybe since 1983 when they won their first eight. And that was with Jack Olin as coach. So they've had a lot of coaches since Jack. Yeah. And Jack's still helping out at Papillion, I believe, isn't he?
I think so, yeah. And then Fremont's undefeated, too. Looking at their schedule, they might be a team that could push in. You know, it's going to be interesting that when – district play actually starts and how much of that stuff can hold,
you know, right?
Or those records. And you look at it, if you go start 4-5-0, 6-0, something like that, you're going to get a pretty good district seed, and you never know what can happen.
You look at Central, which has a good game with Burke on Friday night, they're 1-1. You look at the schedule, if they play at the level they did against Prep last week, they look like they're capable of being 6-3 or 7-2. They finish up with Bellevue West, so this might be the game that decides whether they've got six wins or seven.
Yeah,
if they stay on their trend.
And then in B, anyone that kind of pops out to you? I know for me, it's York. I know tradition wise and all that. I think a lot of people, not you, just in general, people. I know York. Well, now they lost everybody.
Yeah, they lose Snodgrass, lose Danielson.
Yeah, now they're off to this start, and then they play McCook this week, who's 0-2, if they can win that one. And then they host Scutt next in week 4. I mean, that's if they can go 4-0.
If they get 4-0, I mean, they're going to be considered a contender. Yeah. I think Hastings maybe was a little undervalued. Scott's Bluff, they'll took the wood to them after giving them the first touchdown first play of the game.
And Scott's Bluff lost, you know, Nelson and some other pieces and brought guys back like Harsh.
Now Sam Clarkson just got his first action last week. Bobby Mills saw that game, and, he said, they're a different offensive line with Sam Clarkson up there.
Right, very much so.
And Sebastian Harsh does his thing, and Kroll has stepped up from being the relief pitcher for Busby from last year, and he's going to have a 1,000-yard season by staying healthy. And I think Mount Michael deserves a shout-out, too. I mean, the win over Gross was a little iffy, but 2-0, they've got a very favorable schedule going into districts. You know, it'd be good for that program to get back-to-back at playoff appearances and a good seed, because in Class B, you're only going to have seven teams not go to the playoffs.
Right. That's basically, everybody. Virtually everybody. And then other classes, anything stands out, like that, teams that snuck up that maybe you weren't expecting?
You know, taking a look at my list, Shelby Rising City knocked off Battle Creek first week, 7-3. Got a validation win last week. Big, they're saying at number 9. Wisner Pilger was 7-3 last year, 7-2. They're 2-0, had a good win last week over East Butler, who had been in the rankings because they'd beaten West Point Guardian Angels. Right. So, they've done well. And, Grand Island Heartland and Dorchester. Yeah. Dorchester was with Milford for a couple years, playing 11-man. They went back, created their own 6-man team again, and they're 2-0, and I know the Longhorn faithful down there, they got to be ecstatic. I mean, they love their football there.
That's right. And then moving on, I guess teams that maybe have underachieved a little bit as far as, we're 2 weeks into the season, so no reason to overreact really on it. But teams that maybe thought, they'd probably be a little better that haven't been.
It's kind of so hard to say because
you 2 weeks in is
2 weeks in, and, sometimes we're getting preview forms, they're 6 months old.
Right.
We start asking for these in February. You got kids that are playing, kids that are not playing,
get injured and all kinds of stuff.
Caden Glenn was going to be with Johnson Brock, and then he moves, and now he just came out for Beatrice. Did you know that last week? So we'll see him Thursday night on our Thursday night lights game with Ralston on the NebraskaPrepZone.com and KXVO. McCook, but I think Jeff Gross felt that it
was going to be a little
longer year than normal for.
Yeah, they're still going to win some games.
Do you see anybody in Class A that?
Not really. I mean, you look at it, and it's kind of like everyone kind of is who we thought they maybe were. I mean,
Miller Norso on 2.
That's one team we thought maybe started a little bit better, but like they've had two tough games.
Right. You know, I mean, it's going to be come down to how they do in district play, right, whether they can get to the playoffs.
Right.
And last year they were 3-6, and they lost that last game to Gretna.
Right. Yeah. There isn't. I wouldn't say in A there's many.
I think it's gone chalk.
Yeah, pretty much chalk. And you know, Burke's going to be good. Millard West is probably better than I think we gave him credit for in the offseason. But you know, Tristan Gomez is a heck of a runner with the ball and
right.
quarterback. And
well, and they found
matters.
Another runner with Valentia.
Yeah. Yep. And then, I mean, that helps, and their defense is awfully good. I talked to Larry Martin this morning, mm-hmm. and he said, this is the best defense I've seen on film out of all the film we've watched so far this year. It's the best defense we'll face. So that game probably will be like 7-3 or 10-7.
Well, I think Larry Martin has to hope it's that, because I'm not sure right now that North can outscore
right,
Millard
that's
West.
Right, that's what I mean. I feel like it's going to be a low-scoring defensive game just based on kind of what he...
It's up at Northwest home field, so that will play into it some.
So, okay, moving on, looking ahead to this week and some of the top matchups in just across the state, if you will. So in A, I have Westside and Southeast. That's the 4:30 game.
4:30 game at Seacrest. You know, Westside probably has not put its full team out there yet.
Right.
You know, Avante Dickerson's been basically restricted to defense.
Right.
Cal Wiedemann, I hear, is about ready to come back.
Yeah.
Might be this week.
He's not quite full, but he's kind of got some stuff.
The feeling that this is Westside's ready to unleash a good offense.
Right.
And to me, the key factor is how does Westside's lines fare against Southeast?
Yeah.
Because that's where Southeast has to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Also,
Nicolene from Southeast, the running back, can put up
right.
some yards.
Now, Shannon, a quarterback, is going to have to remove some of the mistakes he had last week. They were only 128-0. He had a couple fumbles. So he's going to have to be protecting his job and protecting the ball.
Job would be one.
Because Daffers,
it's good.
They've been alternating quarterbacks there. And, you know, sometimes week three, week four, you kind of see, okay, who's going to be the one that I'm going to rely on if you're Rangatula there.
Moving forward. And then we mentioned Millard West and North. I think that's obviously a huge game in Class A. Millard West, man, they're just running this gauntlet of the first four games that they have.
Well, so's North, to be
that's
honest.
That's true, yeah.
You know, Northwest, was a blowout last week. But North has as tough a schedule as anybody. They've got Burke coming up and Bellevue West. And,
right. I'm saying just in the first quarter of the year was Millard West. You start with Millard North. Then last week is Burke. This week is North. And next week is Millard South. Those first four.
Millard West, Millard South next week.
Yeah.
Could be gangbusters with a Millard West win.
There are so many, and I'm sure we'll talk about it going forward, there are so many good games in week four.
Yes.
you have that Millard West, Millard South, which will be packed, and then Elkhorn South, Bellevue West. Those are just two off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so many good games that we kind of
and in all the classes.
Right.
North, again, quarterback has to make the right plays.
Right.
They've got Farragut Jones. They got Llewellyn.
They have like six running backs.
Right. But you got to kind of boil that down to two or three.
Right.
You got your speed back, which I think is Farragut Jones.
Right.
Llewellyn looks to be the power guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're probably still kicking themselves. How did we lose that game to Prep?
Yeah, that's true. But I think they did find a kicker. So that's
okay.
a good thing. We'll see, but I think they did.
Well, did they go to Nebraska's audition?
No, they didn't. I think they had a kid that came out or something they found in the halls. In Class B, Scotts Bluff at Northwest, kind of a litmus test for Northwest.
Oh, I'd say so. I mean, beating McCook at home was good.
Yeah.
Now you come in and you welcome Scotts Bluff, which is making its second big road trip in as many weeks because they were in Hastings last week.
Right.
They weren't real happy at the NSAA schedule over that. But no, I think it's a good matchup, good test for new quarterback Rance Sanders at GI Northwest.
Yeah.
It's kind of a different offense from what I'm gathering. It's not the Carter Terry we're going to throw for 7,000 yards. There's more balance. Probably predicated by the talent there since we haven't seen them live. Scotts Bluff, You know what I like about Sebastian Harsh? He's throwing the ball well.
Yeah.
You know, he had about 180-180 last week type of game. Mm-hmm. That makes Scott's bluff really tough.
Yeah. And I think he's a better outside linebacker than he is a quarterback, but that's just my opinion. Blair at Scott is another kind of could be a close one defensive kind of matchup. Maybe.
Blair's going to have to practice ball control with Dex Larson, kind of that game style they had with York last week. Scott with Tyson Gordon, they're gonna want to try and beat them up front. And I felt last week that maybe Scott should have even run the ball more.
Yeah, a little
but
more.
But I think they want to get Tyson Gordon established as a run pass quarterback.
Right.
And you had a cushion that was going between one and two touchdowns.
Right.
And I think when it got to crunch time, they ran the ball.
Right, they did.
So I think that's one that Scott needs to be on upset alert, especially if Blair would come out and throw the ball, because a couple, 3 years ago, Blair did come out, surprise Scott big time, and threw the ball over the place. And if, as we said before, Scott's one Achilles could be its secondary.
Right.
And they don't want to have to put Tyson Gordon out there as if he's going to be full-time quarterback. You want to get him some rest.
Well, he's full-time quarterback, safety, kicker, punter, kickoff specialist. He doesn't return kicks, but
he tapes ankles.
Yeah, he returns punts, so he does everything.
And before we get to McCook and York, I think another one we need to talk about is Roncalli at Waverly.
Yeah, that could be another nice, good game there.
Yeah, Waverly, Reed Manstead's first year as coach, coming over from Crete, 2-0 start. I mean, that's a great way for any coach to start a new place with a new system.
Right.
And Roncalli, I think, is only build off of last week. There's disappointment in them that they lost, but this is the best they had played Scott in 15 plus years.
There's a moral victory there, as much as coaches don't like moral victories, but that's
a confidence victory. Confidence game that we've stood toe to toe with the best in Class B probably for the foreseeable future.
Right.
And if we make one or two less mistakes we're going to be right there.
Mm-hmm.
So that now go down Waverly. That's
going to be tough.
Waverly
runs the ball, and Trevor Brown is huge.
Huge,
lineman,
yeah.
So that'll be a key game.
And then McCook at York.
Yeah.
You know, it's become a good rivalry.
Right.
And, you know.
Last year's game, we were both there at York.
Yeah, so it's at McCook this year.
Yeah.
So that's a little factor because McCook's a great place to watch a football game. Throwback atmosphere.
Last year was fantastic.
I see York winning this one by a couple scores.
Right, and their defense obviously shutting out Blair last week was huge. So.
Yeah.
And then a couple in C1. Aurora at Wahoo, that's our Pinnacle Bank game of the week. I'll be there.
I'll be there once I get done with Southeast and West Side.
I'll probably do the reverse. I'll probably do a half of Southeast, West Side, and make my way to Wahoo. And then, Aurora, Wahoo, I think. Obviously, Trevor Lubin, the running back, I want to see him live. I haven't seen him live yet.
Same here.
In person. And then Aurora, you know, like we said, a pretty nice bounce back win beating Kearney Catholic like they did after losing that first game. And, I think it could be a close game. I've never been to a game at Wahoo, a football game. I've been to multiple basketball things. But
great stadium right on campus.
Blue track. They just changed it.
Oh, did they just change it?
Yeah,
I did not know that.
It's a blue track.
Dvorak from Aurora had a solid second game against Kearney Catholic last week. So he's got two games under his belt replacing Baylor Shireman. I think it's going to come down to, again, the lines. Aurora last year beat up on people up front.
Right.
And Wahoo lost Sam Colderman.
Right.
But they return everybody else from that line.
Right.
And if that's the difference, I think Wahoo's going to validate its number one status. And then if you want to talk about lines and running, how about Pierce against Ord?
Yeah, Pierce at Ord is a huge game in C1, particularly in that kind of north-central-east Nebraska area.
You know, with Pierce, you got the triplets at running back and quarterback. Dalton Freeman has ran a good show for them. Last year, the regular season game was 58-42.
Wow.
You know, if it turns out that way again, it's going to be a barn burner. But I think Ord, with a new quarterback, probably a little bit down from last year.
Right.
But, you know, they certainly showed they came on second half of the year, knocked off Newman to get to the state finals, and just ran into the Aurora buzzsaw.
No one was beating Aurora that day.
No. Aurora was still a Class B team last year.
Yeah. Okay. So moving on, prospect watch. Max Morrell commits to Stanford. That's pretty huge news, I think, and that makes two now. Pac-12 commitments from Nebraskans in back-to-back recruiting cycles.
Luke and War. About 4 months apart.
Right. Luke War and then now Max Morrell. So both kind of post players, long and versatile players. I think it'll only bode well for Nebraskans going forward and being able to have him. I think he's going to have an impact anywhere he goes. Now it's just kind of consistency with – he's proved it in the summer and at camps and all that. Now it's kind of how do you improve on that 11 points and 6 rebounds? Can you make
The first thing is going to be he's got to stay in games.
Right.
Summer basketball is called looser.
Right, oh yeah.
And when you've got people in, you've got your officiating styles in Nebraska, they're going to call it closer, obviously, than summer basketball.
Right.
I want to see him play a full 32 minutes. It'd be fun to watch him play a full. And that's got to be his goal this year, is to stay in games, because Miller North has such talent all on the court.
Right.
They need the big guy inside.
Yeah, their top 7-8 is going to be pretty good. And then next up in the 2020 class, Division I guy, because there's been three now and there's only four that have offers, is Latrell Reitzel Jr. He's had a bunch of schools coming in this week. Southern Illinois, UNO, or Omaha,
That's UNO. It's UNO to us.
South Dakota State, those kind of schools. I mean, South Dakota State, he visited and things. So he's kind of the next one to keep an eye out for. And then we did compile a list of the college coaches tracker, where all the coaches have gone this week. And one guy's name that is popping up is Frankie Fiddler. A lot of schools coming in to see Frankie Fiddler, the junior at Bellevue West. Valparaiso saw him in Chucky today, and UNO, and Utah State's another school that's coming for him, and Jaden Johnson at Miller North this week. And
State doesn't recruit around here that often.
Well,
is there a connection?
South Dakota.
Moved out there.
That's kind of the connection. So that's kind of that full list is pretty detailed on who's even visiting or working out for what colleges and that.
And where can they see that again?
On nebhsrecruiting.com, and we have it on Prep Zone too, all of it. So it's all the full list. And then Nebraska is playing Northern Illinois this week. And there are a couple that we know of in-state kids that will be there. I'm sure there will be a lot more. Omaha North duo of Hunter Push and Sam Scott, lineman and running back / linebacker. And then Elkhorn South offensive lineman or center, Isaac Zadiska. And a special thing, I'm going to write something on it, but Northern Illinois recruit or commit Jay Ducker, Bellevue West running back, is going to the game as obviously a fan of Northern Illinois. So it's not very often that kind of happens. Happened with, Wisconsin and stuff like that. So, all right. Thanks, Stu. Appreciate your time. And we'll talk to you soon.